Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, what a killer end of the 76ers season. And unfortunately, it's like the record is stuck. Seems to happen every year. Twitter poll question of the day, by the way. Do you agree with the Sixers' decision to bring Doc Rivers back for another season? A, yes. B, no. You can vote on that at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's go to our guy who's been with us every single Monday through the basketball season, and this will be his last weekly appearance with us. We'll talk to him in the offseason. But Derek Bodner, of course, has done a tremendous job with us all year long. He's one of the great writers, not only for the Sixers, you know, covering the Sixers, but anywhere throughout the Delaware Valley. You can follow his work at Derek Bodner NBA and also with the Daily Six newsletter. And we strongly encourage you to get that, the Daily Six newsletter, to follow Derek's work all through the offseason. Mr. Derek Bodner. Hey, Ben, Derek.
Oh, you know, I watch the same basketball you guys did. So
indeed.
Not great, but I'm doing good enough.
Totally.
I guess.
Derek, without doing a full review, because frankly, I don't think it's really warranted. We all know what we saw. Let's kind of move forward here and try to figure out how they improve the situation. I want to start with James Harden. I said on Friday that I don't want James Harden on the team. Now, if he sticks the Sixers with the $47 million one-year player option, then obviously the Sixers have two choices, to play him or to cut him. Let me just start with this question. If the Sixers do not offer James Harden a contract extension, then do you think James Harden would definitely opt into the $47 million, or would he try to go get $100, $150, $200 million from a different team? What do you think his strategy will be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's getting $150, $200 million from a different team. I think his best play is, even if the Sixers don't offer him a contract, is to take that $47 million, put that in the bank, try to come out and have a better season than he had this year, because then you're looking at it, he just has to get, you know, like 3 years, $20 million per to equal what he might have been able to get on the open market. I think he's going to – it would be shocking for me if he turned down that $47
million. Derek,
go ahead.
I know you are certainly historically have been a big believer in Daryl Morey. It scares me that he might have an understanding with James Harden, preconceived before Harden played for the Sixers, that I will offer you – a multi-year contract. Do you think such a pre-arrangement could come into play here? If it does exist, do you think Daryl Morey will have the guts to pivot off of that based on what James Harden did and how he performed? What is your sense of that whole unique dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's something where at the time of the trade, you expect they had a conversation on both James' willingness to come back and play for the Sixers long-term and the Sixers' interest in having him around. You have to assume it would have been almost malpractice to make that trade without having that conversation. Whether or not he would stick to – whether or not there was, first of all, firm details on what that could have been and whether he would stick to it, you can't. You can't offer him that contract after what we just saw. There's nobody else in the league that's going to be offering him that kind of money. I think if you're Daryl Morey, you sort of say to him, look, opt into that contract. You know, we'll pay you that not the Sixers have an option, but we'll pay you that $47 million. Come back in the best shape you can, and let's see what happens after you get another year removed from that hamstring.
Are you with me, Derek, that they should not offer him a contract? I mean, take a lesser per year 2 year deal, 2 years, $60 million. Should the Sixers offer him that or not?
So why I would consider that is because I think the years are more important than the $1 million because you want to line it up for when Tobias Harris's contract, which has 2 more years left, ends, and before Tyrese Maxey gets his next contract, which would eat another cap space. So 2 years I would have some interest in, but to me it's as much about the years as the dollars. You don't want to go too far beyond that because, like I said, you want to have cap space after Tobias comes off the book and before you extend Maxey. I would have interest in something like that, but look, I think giving him the $47 million and having him have a prove it year, I think has some pretty real interest too.
This is a quote from Daryl Morey. I think we have flexibility and free agency trade resources that are provided to us, et cetera. Where is this flexibility that Daryl Morey is talking about?
They don't have any. I guess some of that could be like if you get him at 2 years, $30 million, you might have a little more flexibility than if he opts into that $47 million contract. But look, they're at a spot where they have, they're probably going to use a lower mid-level exception because they don't want to get up against a hard cap they don't want to hard cap themselves. They're not going to use a biannual exception. So you basically have a smaller mid-level, minimum salary contracts, and a bunch of untradeable contracts. He will say that they have – the CBA gives them all this flexibility. They're one of the least flexible teams in the league. And look, can you start doing stuff with trades? And my sense is they're probably going to have their draft pick here because I think Brooklyn's probably going to want to defer that to next year. So they might be able to draft someone with that selection and then trade them. Maybe they can get something for that. But for all teams, they're pretty inflexible. They're pretty inflexible.
What can we realistically expect to get back for Tobias Harris?
I mean, I think the hope is you're not going to get a better player. You're not going to get probably any real cap flexibility. I think the hope is maybe taking that contract and getting 2 or 3, not great contracts, but just being able to spread that out over multiple players and help fix some of your depth issues. His contract isn't quite as horrific as it was a couple of years ago, just by virtue of the fact that there's only 2 years left on it. So I think it's going to be easier to move than it otherwise would. But I also don't think you want to take back a contract with 3 or 4 years left on it. So I think you have to be a little bit selective in how you approach that. To me, it would be just distributing that money over 2 or 3 contracts. You can help solve some of your depth issues.
It sounds like we're really in a mess. How much of this mess can be directly attributed to the Sixers ownership, i.e. Josh Harris?
I mean, they've been, for a team that has had a bankable star, I've never seen this much instability in an organization. To have 5 general managers over the course of, and I'm counting Brett Brown in there, but to have 5 general managers over Joel Embiid's, 7-year career, you have your foundational piece, you have your franchise player, you have your star, and they've still been completely unstable because they've hired, we don't need to go over everything, they've hired GMs who got fired for using Twitter incorrectly, and they've promoted a GM who had a year and a half of experience in a front office, and they gave full power to a coach for a brief period of time and enabled a collective group of decision makers where nobody really knew their roles. Have a starting point that they had, and look, ultimately you do have to give a lot of blame to Colangelo and Brand and even Hinkie and everyone who made these decisions. But they weren't set up in an environment where you would have the kind of stability. Like, look at Miami. Sixers get beat by Gabe Vincent and, Max Strus, players like that. That happens because you have a stable environment where you can, sign Gabe Vincent off the street and develop him over a multi-year period. The Sixers just haven't had that kind of stability at all or any kind of unifying, clear direction. And I think it's hurt them with a lot of these depth issues that we're talking about.
Derek Bodner with us right now. Derek, certainly the Sixers, it sounds as of now, are planning for stability next year in that they keep the coach. I think it's a mistake. Why do you think Doc Rivers is back? And do you think there is still a glimmer of hope, if you want him out, that Doc will leave on his own to go to the Lakers and that the Sixers know that and want him to walk away so they don't owe him the $24 million?
Yeah. Well, look, if he's not here, I think it will be because he pursued that Lakers job. I don't know if he will. I don't know if the Lakers are interested. But if that's the only real outcome, I think, where he wouldn't be here. I don't know how much of it is the fact they owe him 3 years and $24 million left on his contract. That certainly would be a explanation for it. I could see Josh Harris not wanting to pay that just to tell him to go away. Do I think that he is a solution in really any of this? No. I think they have other problems. I'm not even going to say bigger problems because I think he's a problem, but I think they have other problems. So I don't want to put it all on the coach. But I've lost faith that he is a solution as well.
We've gone a couple minutes here, Derek. We haven't even mentioned Embiid other than the passing that they had a centerpiece to build around. There are some out there, I'm not one, who believe the Sixers should pivot off Embiid, trade him now while you can, and just start over. Do you, if you're the Sixers, consider that at all, or is that a non-starter?
No, I mean, that's a, you know, how many MVP caliber players has this franchise ever had?
Yep.
Like, you could list them on one hand.
Yep, four or
that's
five.
Why we're talking
yep.
about, you know, look, that's why so much of this is frustrating, because you thought you had finally, you know, when they acquired James Harden, you thought you finally had a championship caliber running mate to put alongside of him. And you knew that they didn't necessarily have the depth that you would ideally want. You knew that this year was going to be tough because there was so much they had to learn how to play together on the fly. But I think what's really causing people to panic is you look at James Harden, and now you've lost complete confidence that he is actually that championship-caliber running mate. You thought you finally had something to bank on outside of Joel Embiid going forward, and now you just don't know. And I think that's a lot of the reason why, you know, I could sit here and talk about the depth and how they could overcome that and acquire that even with their limited resources. If James Harden was James Harden, there wouldn't be this level of panic. So, no, I don't think, you know, you can start off a rebuild by trading Joel Embiid and getting some assets while you can. Just getting some assets doesn't guarantee or even give you a good chance of getting an MVP caliber player.
Derek,
Joel Embiid, I think, still has a couple more years of this play in him. You could do whatever you can to build around.
I agree with mm-hmm. you. Derek, Bradley Beal's name still comes up. Hey, go get Bradley Beal. Trade a bunch of picks for Bradley Beal. All right, let's tackle this one. Can you please provide clarity for us on what the 76ers are even eligible to trade from a first-round pick standpoint? We know that they've already traded a couple out. As you pointed out, Brooklyn can defer. What is the when of when they can actually trade a first-round pick and how limited those opportunities are?
Yeah, not so they owe their 2022 first-round pick to Brooklyn, which could be deferred to 2023. They also owe a first-round pick to, I think, Oklahoma City still sometime in 2025.
And that's the Al Horford trade?
That is the Al Horford trade. And then they owe a third pick, second one, to Brooklyn in 2027. So you really don't have, you know, like I said, you could probably select a player in this draft and then under the agreement that you will then trade him after you sign him. So you have maybe one trade or one pick this year that you can include in a trade. Outside of that, I think you have to go until pretty much 2029 until you get to where you could trade another pick. They do not have very many picks to trade.
And, Derek, the reason for that is you're not allowed to trade picks in consecutive seasons, correct?
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to make a trade which would leave you without having a pick in consecutive seasons. So if they would get another pick back, and right now I don't think they have any first-round picks coming in, but let's say they would make a trade where they would get a 2024 first-round pick, then it would open up the chance because you could then make trades.
Wow.
Which would leave you having a pick.
Derek, do they get any cap relief on the Danny Green situation? He might not ever play again. Serious injury, obviously, surgery. What happens with him cap-wise and flexibility that can be created?
Yep. So he was, first of all, just a brutal injury, and that was very tough to see. And it was honestly tough to watch him because he came into the podium the day after on crutches, and he said he was optimistic that this was only a minor ligament, maybe only LCL, and to find out it was the ACL as well was really tough to see for him. But you know that he does have a non-guaranteed contract for next season. There is a date where the Sixers would have to make that decision by. I'm not 100% sure what that date is, but I would assume it's sometime before the start of free agency. They could clear his entire salary off the books.
Well, that's good. It is a shame if that's the end of his career. Derek, let's wrap with this concept. I'm just going to throw this to you open end and take it from here however you want. It's pretty hard for the Sixers to pivot this thing effectively, right?
Yeah. No, they're not locked in because you can always move stuff. You saw that with Russell Westbrook over the last couple of years. But they are not – they're pretty locked in, yeah.
And the big fear is always if the big guy ever wants out.
Yep. That's always the overriding fear. And, Joel Embiid, I think, has been pretty – pretty loyal, and I don't think he's given any real indication that he's thinking this, but that's always a fear in today's NBA for sure.
How attractive are we? I mean, the rumors about Bradley Beal, like if Bradley Beal wants to come here, that's the first step.
You don't have much to give up.
But then everything else kind of has to get taken care of, right? In today's NBA, if a star player wants to go somewhere, somehow it's facilitated. Is my head in the clouds on this, Derek? Or is it realistic to expect that this could actually happen?
You know, I mean, go back to Miami and Jimmy Butler and Josh Richardson. Clearly that was not equal value, but it was where he wanted to be. Now, that was a little different because Miami had some cap space where they could have made a couple moves and signed him outright. They did not want to do that, so they had a little bit of leverage in that trade. But, yes, stars get to pretty much go where they want to go within reason. The problem is if you know, Bradley Beal says, here are three or four teams I want to go to, and it's not just get me to Philly or nowhere else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Derek, let me ask one more. I'm going to turn this whole thing inside out a weird way. Would the 76ers be in better shape right now if they had not made the Ben Simmons two draft pick and James Harden trade and Seth Curry and Andre Drummond?
I mean, look, I think it – well, just keeping Seth Curry and Andre Drummond
– and the two picks!
Yeah, well, look, there's certainly an argument. Yeah. And, look, I think part of this, if James Harden can come back, I do still think there's a little bit of a chance that part of what we saw was hamstring-related. So if he can come back with a better year, he certainly – makes the Sixers a better team. But in terms of being in a better, more flexible position, there's no doubt that hurt them in that regard.
Derek, it has been, as it is for us every single year, a pleasure to have you on our show every week during the Sixers season. I want to encourage everyone, follow Derek's work at Derek Bodner NBA and also, of course, at the Daily Six newsletter. Derek, thank you so much, man.
Yep, thank you.
All right, there he is, Derek Bodner. I mean, it's not a particularly bright picture. It's really not. Look, they're going to be pretty good. You got Joel Embiid. You got Tyrese Maxey. You have some combination of James Harden and Tobias or whoever
I don't know, man. I feel like it is. It can be so bright if we just continue to hear these, you know, whispers.
Well, there's two things to me it's predicated
that
on.
That a guy wants to come.
Forget all the whispers. I think there's two things it all starts with. Can Joel Embiid be healthy for 2 months in the playoffs, which he's never been? Never been healthy for 1 month. And can James Harden actually turn back the clock and show interest and spunk and skill and effort? And over now multiple seasons he has not. So I think it's bleak as far as championship. It's looking good as far as 50 wins, but let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. You want to react to the Sixers, the Eagles, when we were talking about the schedule earlier this hour, and of course the Phils, who really did have a terrific week out west. Chris in Phoenixville's with us. Hello, Chris.
Hey gentlemen, how you doing today?
Great, Chris.
So a lot since I've been holding, but I think the Phillies, just looking at a couple positives, I'm not a Girardi fan. I think he should have left during the rain delays or rain makeups or whatever. But I think the Phillies have a closer in Francisco Morales. That's all. I think he's young and unproven, obviously, but our bullpen's been the problem and the 300-pound elephant in the room for decades now, or since Lidge.
At least. By the way, he got sent down, the pitcher you're just talking about.
But I'm looking at what he has stuff-wise.
Sure.
And, like I'm not going to compare him to this guy, but when I saw his cutter slider and just his numbers, I think he worked with somebody, and his mechanics are pretty consistent now. So his strikeout and his whip and all that good stuff is great, but it's the stuff. You have to look at the cutter that he can almost throw every other pitch like Mariano Rivera used to do and be able to spot it. Now, obviously, he's way away from being that, but, you know, before Mariano was Mariano, he also came up from the minor league system, and they gave him a chance to be the closer. So the guys that we have, I mean, Familia should have never been signed. There's guys that have a makeup that they're going to choke when it's on the road, and he used to choke against the Phillies. So there's just some kind of – there's a mental fortitude that comes with pitching. You know, if everything was based off of velocity, then Vinny Velo would have been in the Hall of Fame, but instead Greg Maddux.
I know.
And
all right, Chris,
mental fortitude.
Give me a movie. Some would call that testicular fortitude.
Yeah,
give me a movie you'd like to see a sequel of.
I was either going to go with Shawshank Redemption.
Hold on, whoa. You only give me one, so we're putting down Shawshank. You don't get to give me, I'm going to go with one or the other.
Andy in Red and Zewantenehu just hanging out on the beach.
I mean, maybe he's got to start running from the cops and the U.S. government's coming after him in Mexico. You know, then it becomes an international standoff between the U.S. and Mexicans if they capture him.
It feels like it's got a little less... I don't know.
Well, it felt like such a perfect ending to the story. It's like, all right, the story's over there, you know?
Yeah, but I will say tough life. I mean, now you got to be, you know, quiet guy, basically. I mean, you can't get pulled over for
on a beach.
But back
you know?
In that, well, I know. Yeah. What year are we talking? What year was Shawshank?
So it's the 50s, I think.
You got a lot less, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing's digital. There's no computers. You
he's
know,
also
it's
still pretty.
To get
he's
away.
Still pretty young, though. I mean, he's not like, hey, let me live out 10 years. I mean, he's got like 40 years to live. Right. Plus, he probably wouldn't mind coming back to the U.S. at some point.
Wow.
You know, I'm just saying. Let's go to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, you're on WIP.
Boys, what's up? How are we today?
Doing pretty well, Dan. I feel great about the Phillies. Great.
Yeah, except that that's part of my call is. Does it feel like Girardi just, like, surrenders losses, like, throughout the season? Just like, yeah, I don't care if I lose. Almost like Doc Rivers has done with the Sixers?
Sometimes, but I don't see yesterday as one of them. Do you?
Yeah, I think he could have had a different lineup in there.
Well, first off, you got the backup catcher who got a big hit. I mean, what do you want him to do?
Do you want
Aaron Nola to pitch 140 pitches?
No. But I think Ramuto should have been in there. Great. The backup catcher had a big hit. But, you know, gives up. Like, if he lose, he's okay. If I'll put this in, if we lose, it's fine. We won 3 out of 4. You know what I mean?
Think
like,
sometimes he thinks that. I don't think yesterday is a prime example of that at all. Look, the bottom line is his team had a 4-2 lead, 4-3 lead. Well, okay,
yeah,
4-2 going into the eighth, 4-3 going into the ninth.
4-1 prior to that.
The closer blew it.
I know. After getting the two outs.
Not every loss, Dan, is the manager's fault.
No, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying him in general. It's just I can only imagine how many more losses that he's just going to give up throughout the season. Just because I feel like he thinks baseball like the NBA now. Like the regular season is not that important.
Well, it is when you haven't made the playoffs in 12 years.
What about the fact that we just I used to dread these West Coast trips because I expected we just wouldn't show up at all. Like, that was the trend. Like, the way it used to feel, it was like we'd go out to the West Coast. If we played 7 games, we'd come back 1-6.
Well, part of that is because the Dodgers were dominant.
Well, they still are.
I agree.
And we just – the Dodgers were 10-2 at home.
Yeah.
And we just – nearly took 4 from
him. I thought it was really impressive.
Me too.
I did.
And
yeah,
no one says, hey,
just,
Joe Girardi, he had these guys ready.
I agree with you on that.
The guys are getting ready. Hey, and as for the Sixers, I did watch the Celtics-Bucks game yesterday. And it's just, to me, it's a different team ball. You know what I mean? Like, you just see them moving the ball. You don't see so much standing around. It's like both teams just look so much different on the floor than we do. You know, it's almost like we don't know what to do with the ball, and these teams are just going out with it. Hmm. And the Eagles' schedule, I don't know how my kids are going to feel about Christmas if they lose to the Cowboys on Christmas Eve. I'm going to be like a Grinch. I'm going to be throwing the Christmas tree out. There's going to be big stuff.
All right, Dan, give me a movie you want to see a sequel of.
Well, I was thinking about Shawshank, but how about The Breakfast Club? You wonder how they came back the next year as friends and things like that.
All right, The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I like that. I love the high school.
Is it only a one-day thing, or is it going to last?
Yeah, not my favorite.
Well, you don't like the movie to begin with.
No, it's below average.
It's below average. It's just not.
It's an irritating
movie.
How
can you say that?
It's just irritating. It's
The Breakfast, one of the, I mean, man, that's a movie that defines an era.
Look, John, as
and
someone.
And you're saying it's
let me explain.
Less than average?
Let me make this really simple for you. As someone who went to Tension a ton. Those kids didn't know how to do it right. Trust me. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494 with you here on 94 WIP. Hey, the playoffs are here. Obviously down to 4 more squads now in hoops, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win, and FanDuel has so many ways for you to play. And best of all, when you do win, they'll get you paid fast, real fast. How about this? In as little as 2 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code HAMMER. I tell you promo code HAMMER every day because you'll get the very best deal from FanDuel Sportsbook when you sign up using promo code Hammer. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay does during the playoffs does not win. A spectacular deal with FanDuel Sportsbook when you sign up using promo code Hammer. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of the NBA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.